Food prices have increased over 40%. Energy prices have increased over 20%. Wheat and gas prices have increased over 70%. What's going to be next? Do you see these trends reversing or even stabilizing? All fiat currencies have always failed and collapsed their economies on their way down. The Roman Empire, China, France, Argentina, Finland, Mexico, Russia, and Zimbabwe all tried fiat currency and all collapsed into chaos. Meanwhile, the dollar has lost over 97% of its gold value since 1971, when an ounce of gold was valued at $35. If your assets are in paper, you are in danger. Protect your assets with gold and silver. Visit Discount Gold and Silver Trading at DGScoins.com. That's DGScoins.com or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 800-375-4188. Protect yourself and your family.
Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. I'm Melody Cederstrom, and you're listening to Financial Survival. I'm here with my co-host, Alfred Adisk, to bring you opinion and commentary on today's economic and political events for Friday, June 27th, 2014. Good afternoon, Al.
Hi, Melody.
Hey, did you enjoy your day off yesterday?
Did I have a day off yesterday?
Yeah. We missed you.
Uh-huh.
I'm sure the listeners did too, although they really did get to hear us from the night before with James Corbett. But precious metals today, they didn't seem to do too much. They were a little bit to the, again, another day like yesterday. We have gold. Let me go ahead and, I had all my numbers here all ready to go, and I was looking at something else. It's very interesting that we're going to talk about here in a little bit. We have gold right now in the New York stock, on the New York spot price, trading down 70 at 1317. We did have a high today of 1321. So, and it was on borderline up and down all day long. Silver, same thing. I'd say in the last 30 minutes, they decided to head down a little bit lower, but we're still over 21 for silver, 2105 down 16. Platinum was up 9 at 1483, and we have palladium up 4 at $844. The USDX today is ready to break through that 80 level again, 8003, down 0.18. Crude oil did go down below 106 at 105.72, down 0.12. The paper markets, didn't do much also. They were down for the most part of the day. They were able to turn them around again the last hour of trade. You have the Dow up 5 points at 16,851. You have the NASDAQ up 18 at 43.97, and the S&P up 3 at 1960. And the 10-year yield, 2.53% on the 10-year yield, up 0.01. So, lackluster finish on the day. Everybody's talking about the end of the quarter. We got vacation next week. Everyone's holding their breath for the June non-farm payrolls. That is usually released the first Friday of each month, but because of Independence Day, these numbers will be released on Thursday. And so everyone, truly, even with the bad GDP figures, everyone is still expecting to see that there was a pickup in job growth on the numbers that are coming out on Thursday. So we'll just have to wait and see if that will happen or not. You know, Al, I'm going to send forward this over to you after the program. He sent me an article about parts distribution that's influenced by NAFTA and about how Mexico is playing a bigger and bigger role in automotive manufacturing and parts distribution to the U.S. market. And I didn't realize just how recently all these huge plants that are being built down in Mexico. You had last February, Honda opened up an $800 million plant in central Mexico. Mazda, they cut the ribbon at a new $2 billion plant. You have Audi that is now building a luxury car plant. And the reason that made me bring this article up was today Daimler, Renault, and Nissan is to build a $1.4 billion Mexico plant for compact cars. And
what's wrong with that, Melody?
These plants should be built here in the U.S.
That's the whole
and it's
thing.
All because of NAFTA. You've got Detroit that's vacant. These people could come in here and buy up Detroit, and they're certainly not doing it.
No, here's the problem.
But let me just
they are building those plants and providing those jobs in Mexico, where labor is relatively cheap, in order to sell the cars here in the United States to suck whatever wealth remains in this country out. If they're really going to do us any good, they'd be building the plants in the United States and paying people enough wages where they could afford to buy some of these cars. This is not a good formula. This is a terrible situation. Mexicans get jobs. We get to buy cars at higher prices. The multinational corporations get to make larger profits. But in the long run, it's not good for the United States.
No, and you can thank NAFTA. And, you know, Ross Perot was correct.
Yeah.
You hear this huge sucking sound, and it still continues. But what's really interesting is the supply part, the parts of the distribution, where you had all these builders of these parts go in there. Now these plants are coming down there so they can work together. And it's really kind of fascinating. I'll send this over to you. We can discuss it a little bit more. And I'm not sure if I can actually put this in our newsletter or not due to copyright. I don't know. It's I'm not sure what magazine it came out of that he sent it to me. But if we can, we'll put it in our weekly newsletter because it's really interesting, and we'll talk about this next week. But, you know, folks, you know, if jobs are – as much as they talk about our jobs coming back, as much as they talk about, well, we're going to, you know, forgo the ban for 40 years, we're going to start – exporting oil, which is going to help manufacturing here in this country, they're just flat out lying to you.
Yeah.
So it's just so if you
and it's not a mistake or a misunderstanding.
It isn't.
Why do they lie to us? And the answer is because they are tearing this country apart. It is their objective to tear this country down, and they are installing one policy after another. That's contrary to our best interest. They lie and say, oh, this is great. You're going to love it. No, it's going to ruin this country. And I would be much surprised if there are people in the audience who can point to any significant number of policy changes implemented by Obama over the last 6 years that have done this country any good.
Well, any policy by any president in the past 50 years, what have they done? You know, each and every one of them has destroyed.
But we don't even believe that right now.
They've done it for wealth and for power. And you know what? When it was
but not
when,
for our wealth, and not
well,
for
you know,
power.
No, and you're right.
Greater glory, the new world order, and a central government to run the whole world.
In order for them to get
selling us, and there's no proviso in the Constitution for that kind of treachery, treason, betrayal by our government. They just get away with it by lying and deceiving and.
You know, I think they started it out with power. You know, they wanted as much power because you can see through the way. And then it turned to wealth. And then they, through this power that they were able to accumulate, they were able to gather all this wealth. And it's just at the destruction of this country. I don't even think they do it thinking of the destruction of this country. I think they just do it for the power and for the control and for the wealth And the destruction of this country is a result of all of that. And there isn't anybody to say, stop it. There isn't anybody in there to, because they become all part of the plan. And this is a plan, and I do believe it's a bigger agenda than most people can ever imagine. And today, Ukraine, their new president signed their sweeping economic and political pact with the European Union today, you know, thinking that, you know, they're going to have a better trade. They're opening their trade with Europe. And so we'll just see, you know, a couple of years from now, if that long, how well has it really helped the Ukrainian people? And Moscow, the Russian deputy foreign minister, he said there will undoubtedly be serious consequences for Ukraine signing of this document.
Well, no doubt, but that what remains, like signing any of the documents, it's like signing NAFTA or the Trans-Pacific Trade Agreement or any of them. There are always going to be serious consequences, but the question is, how many people know what these consequences are likely to be before they sign the document? They go into this stuff. Certainly the nation is generally blind. Average person doesn't understand what's going to happen based on NAFTA. Ross Perot tried to explain it. He was ignored. He was right, but he was ignored. Average person doesn't understand what's going to happen with a Trans-Pacific Trade Agreement. They don't understand that. But do the people who sign it understand? Do they really understand what the consequences are? And if those consequences are contrary to the best interests of the nation, why are they signing the document? In the final analysis, the only people that really benefit from global free trade are the multinational corporations. They are able to straddle oceans, essentially, and they are able to build products in one country with absolutely cheap labor and sell them in another country where they can make maximum profits off of them. They generate profits because they can straddle the two different countries. I can't go get a job in China, right? But people, it's just because of my circumstances and one thing or another, I can't do that. But multinational corporations can hire people in China to build products that they sell over here. In the end, all that does is impoverish the American people. We're wasting our wealth on products that are built outside the country. And it's a difficult thing to resist because the products are typically cheaper. You get a product coming in from China or from Mexico, it's cheaper. And you say, yay, this is a good thing. I would like to save money. But the problem is, while you're saving money, not spending anything, your neighbor doesn't have a job. And before long, he may be the guy that's breaking into your house at night to see if he can steal something that he might be able to sell or pawn or whatever in order to support himself. Not making it, you know, that's hyperbole and rest, but still there's a point to this. You can't just set up a system that creates cheap products but doesn't create jobs. In the final analysis, we need the jobs more than we need the products. And we don't have a system that's creating jobs for us at this time.
You know, there was comments from a couple of the, from a couple that were Ukraine. And the one said that, there's going to be better quality products. And there's going to be less corruption, and it will push forward for the development of Ukraine. And it's like, you know, it's kind of the same speech that we heard over here. But no, I don't think that's what's going to happen. There will be more corruption. There, you know, only you won't know about it. And the quality of products, where do you think those products are going to come from? We saw a decline in our products, and I don't see anything different. And this agreement allows businesses in the former Soviet republics of Ukraine, Moldova, and Georgia to trade freely in any of the EU European nations without tariffs or restrictions, as long as their goods and practices meet the European standards. And likewise, the services from the EU will be sold more easily and cheaply in those three countries. And along the way, they will raise their their own tariffs and restrictions, and their trades, their trade laws will change. But it'll be interesting.
Oh, it'll definitely be interesting, but it will be, will it be law? That'll be one thing.
What's interesting?
Or will it be influence? If you have enough money, will you be able to go in front of some of these international courts and accuse someone else of engaging in unfair trade practices and slap them down so you can make even more money? Will that be based on law, or will it be based on influence?
Well, I don't know if this is normal in when you have these type of trade agreements, but the rules on government contracts adopted, they're adopting the European Union rules on government contracts, competition policy, and copyright for ideas and inventions. So they have to follow those, the European Union rules. So by right, does the European Union own the copyright for the ideas and inventions that come from Ukraine?
Do they own the legal title to the ideas and inventions that come from the European Union? And the answer is probably yes. I've looked into this in the past, and I can't tell you that this is absolutely the good Lord's truth, but it used to be that if you created something, you owned both legal and equitable title to whatever it is you created, and you could sell it, lease it, whatever you wanted, destroy it. It was yours. You could do whatever you wanted. But when they set up the modern copyright law, it used to be copyright protected, both equitable and legal title. The current copyright laws, so far as I'm able to understand, and I might be mistaken, when you make the application for the copyright or for the patent on a new invention, a new book, whatever, you're effectively giving legal title to that product to the government. You keep equitable title. It's a right of use. You can still sell the equitable title. Very few people perceive the difference, but the fact appears to be that government controls, owns legal title to virtually all of the intellectual property in this country. And that's not an accident, and it's not simple greed. There are legal implications where if you had both legal and equitable title to your property, you'd have standing in a court of law. Purpose of a court of law is to determine legal title and legal rights. Legal rights flow from legal title. If you had legal title, you can get into a court of law. If you don't have legal title, your case will be heard in equity. And the difference is significant because in equity, the judge can rule any way he wants, any time he wants, for any reason he wants. In law, in courts of law, the judge is bound by the law. He has to do what the law says. So the question whether you hold legal title or equitable title is certainly foreign to most people's understanding. And I'm sure that some of the people listening to the program say, what the heck is that guy talking about? Well, it's a big subject. It involves trusts. It involves your legal rights. It involves your standing to make claims on legal rights or access a court of law. Or do you go into a court where the judge can rule against you for any reason he chooses? If he doesn't like your politics, he can rule against you. If he doesn't like the color of your eyes, he can rule against you in a court of equity. He is allegedly bound only by his own conscience and all of this. You'll go to that kind of court if you don't have or claim legal title to whatever it is that's at issue in the particular hearing. I'm sure that's confusing and hard to follow for most people, but it's an important insight if you can grasp it. We're going to take a break for some commercial announcements. I'm Alfred Addis, here with Melody Seekerstrom on Financial Survival. We'll be right back. Please stay tuned.
have a heart condition and emergency rooms and medical doctors are not an option, you need our emergency heart attack kit. 5 concentrated liquid formulas enter the system in 60 seconds to protect your heart muscle, strengthen heartbeat, increase circulation, relieve pain, and make breathing easier. When seconds count, you want all the help you can get with our emergency heart attack kit. Easy to use and portable in a 1-pound compact kit for your purse, briefcase, or car. Call Apothecary Herbs now for your emergency heart attack kit toll-free, 866-229-3663. That's 866-229-3663. International callers dial 704-875-8010 or order online at www.thepowerherbs.com.
Food prices have increased over 40%. Energy prices have increased over 20%. Wheat and gas prices have increased over 70%. What's going to be next? Do you see these trends reversing or even stabilizing? All fiat currencies have always failed and collapsed their economies on their way down. The Roman Empire, China, France, Argentina, Finland, Mexico, Russia, Zimbabwe all tried fiat currency and all collapsed into chaos. Meanwhile, the dollar has lost over 97% of its gold value since 1971, when an ounce of gold was valued at $35. If your assets are in paper, you are in danger. Protect your assets with gold and silver. Visit Discount Gold and Silver Trading at DGScoins.com. That's DGScoins.com or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 800-375-4188. Protect yourself and your family.
American Voice Radio Network is heard on Galaxy 19 at 97 degrees west, transponder 23, frequency 12115, audio PID 2595. AVR is heard on the left side audio channel, and AVR 2 is heard on the right side audio channel. Remember, both AVR and AVR 2 are on Galaxy 19. Same network, double the choices.
Hi, folks. I'm Alfred Addis here with Melody Cedarstrom on Financial Survival. Programs brought to you by Discount Gold and Silver at 1-800-375-4188. Give Melody a call.
We do.
Take advantage of her frequent specials.
We're still going to continue the $880 special with the AU $5 Liberty gold piece along with the $25 face value of 90% silver. But I'm also going to include a new special today. I mean, this price for a Mint State 63 $20 St. Gaudens is selling for approximately at a Mint State 61. So you're getting two grades better for the same price at $1,591. And that also includes your 1 ounce free Silver Eagle. So give us a call at 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Make sure you get to our website, dgscoins.com, and sign up for our weekly newsletter. And, of course, these radio programs are archived on a daily and monthly basis. So give us a call. These are two great, great specials, consensus, analysts, people I've talked to all say gold looks stronger for next week.
Yep.
I will say because it's a holiday. Maybe not, because of all the years that I've been doing this, when it comes to three-day weekends, when it comes to any big meeting, Bilderbergers, Davos, any big Fed Reserve meeting, the IMF meetings, there's always pressure on gold. Stock market will be higher. It doesn't matter if it's by a point or two, and gold is usually a little bit lower. And if it's higher, it's usually not by much. You're not going to have a $40 move like we did last Thursday during a holiday weekend. So we'll see what next week holds. We'll see who's right, who's wrong, And but the important thing, it doesn't really matter where the price of gold is going next week. It's a matter of where it's going in the next few years. And you can't purchase gold based on what's going to happen to the price today or tomorrow, and the same way with silver. You can't time the markets. These are tremendous buying opportunities that were given to you because the fundamentals for gold and silver are stronger today than they were in 2008. So give us a call at 1-800-375-4188. You want to go to the caller, Alfred? James?
I'm not afraid.
We got Jim from West Virginia calling us. Good afternoon, Jim.
Hello, Jim.
Oh,
what do you got for us today?
Good afternoon. Oh, I'm doing good, and you guys are doing even better. Incidentally, yeah, you can time the market. If you buy it now, you can get it. If it goes kaflooey, if things go down the toilet, you ain't going to be able to get nothing.
That's the way of gold and silver. That's long term, you're right.
All jokes aside, yeah, time the market, buy now. But, I mean, I'm being serious about that. But, now, incidentally, Alfred, you gave, my dad was a U.S. patent agent. You gave the best definition or explanation of equitable and legal title I've ever heard. So, simplest one. But, yeah, that's exactly right. Now, that's not what I called. I've got three very short stories. You all talk about NAFTA and wages. Oh, let's put this in perspective. Now, it's been years since I heard these hard nuts. Well, okay. First story, West Virginia story. Phil had a special fee, chemical mix plant, detergents, coatings, lubricants, chemicals for mining, weird stuff. He was going broke in West Virginia. I helped him do the paperwork to figure out where to go. He went to Virginia. Second year, $1.5 million. And he gave it to all his employees, and he did quite well after that. If you own a medium-sized coal mine in West Virginia, $1.5 million taxes, license fees, rules, regulations, blah, blah. Kentucky, I don't remember what it is for Ohio. Kentucky was $250,000. These are old numbers. And Virginia was $100,000. Would you prefer to be a millionaire or go broke? Now, that's the state example. Now, you're talking about different things. Okay, if you buy an American-made car for, let's say, $30,000, you got about $10,000 for the car. You just paid for about $20,000 of taxes because that's the amount of tax load. Now, it's been years again since I read hard numbers on this, but I believe about 15 years ago, if you got a South Korean car, by the time it landed on a dock over here, there was 15% of that car was taxes. The rest of it was car. Now, how on the earth we can compete, I don't know. And we do have places here in America where people work for pennies an hour. They're called prisons. Look up CCA, Corrections Corporation of America. Prison industries, like the federal prison in Lexington, Kentucky, they make furniture. Now, what I'm trying to tell you...
Yeah, and they justify it, and they say, well, we're making the furniture for governments to buy, contract, see? Yeah. And that way we cut down on taxes for people because they get the furniture cheap. But I'll tell you what, I don't care who they're selling it to, the fact remains that if these prison industries weren't selling the super cheap furniture, there would be industries outside of the prisons that were selling more expensive furniture. That's true. It would cost the government more, but there'd be more people employed.
And they make furniture for the private market. Same car parts. They have phone banks where they can do solicit stuff. What I'm trying to tell you very simply is our own government here at home is going to come royally worse than NAFTA, I think. I mean, I have crunched numbers on NAFTA since, well, Ross Perot was talking about it. I remember reading something in Wall Street Journal before Wall Street Journal was corrupted. But the bottom line is real simple, is that, I mean, it's our own local situation. Now, I can take this a step further. If you have a constitutional sheriff, and if you have the political will and the backbone, and he has the backing of the people, I was talking to one, well, ex-sheriff, and he says, yeah, I'm willing to fight on the front line for my people, but when I turn around, by, damn, somebody better be behind me. And he meant it. But you can shut down the IRS in your town. Listen, the IRS does not have a license to do business in your state unless they change their policies. I looked up, I had a bunch of federal agencies and this, that, and the other agencies, a corporate name, incidentally. And I went and checked to see if they had a license to work in West Virginia. No. But if you want to, you can, it's quote government, end quote, by fraud and deceit. Back to the prisons. CCA makes anywhere from $20,000 to $40,000 per head. and these people working in the prison industries. And this also explains to you very simply why they release violent criminals. But boy,
yes.
If you're a good worker, boy, we got a
go ahead and
for
try
you,
to get out of
you.
It. If you're a good worker, they're not going to let you leave. Well, that's
absolutely
a little bit of an exaggeration, but you won't get an early out.
I will give you a tragic.
If you're a bad guy, pick fights.
Story.
What's that? Yeah, you get thrown out of prison. Put you back on the street. They don't want the real criminals in the prison. It's disruptive to business. Bad for business.
Right.
Bring the put them back on the street where they can terrorize the public.
Yeah, so you can have an excuse for more police. I want to tell you a tragic story. This one ripped my heart out. There was a lady here after a really nasty flood a few years ago with a red pickup truck. She had borrowed shovel and sand into the back of it. And so I got to chit-chat. We don't see many people on this road. You know, I talked to everybody. And she says, well, my old man's in prison. He's in there 1 to 5. He's been in there 3. He's going to be in there 2 more. And I know he did not do it. Statutory rape. She said the judge disallowed some cell phone records, some other stuff, and disallowed this, that, and the other. And the gal who made the claim was the daughter of a government employee. Not only that, but she knew darn good and well that her husband was with somebody else they knew and trusted at the time of the alleged rape. And she said, I guess they just needed a crack mechanic in the prison system. He had worked as a very good mechanic at a dealership. He's about 30 or so when this happened. And I mean to tell you, they lost their home. She moved in with a family. This is a local story. And she said, we have 2 kids. I gave birth to the second one after he went off to prison. Now, folks, our problems are a lot closer to home. I'm starting to get upset talking about it because I remember a look on her face. But, folks, it's just not just NAFTA. And I'm telling you right now, I keep looking at all this stuff at other investments. You invest in an education if it's about building things, if it's about fixing things, if it's about growing things. But outside of that, just ditch the education. I found electrical engineers can't even get jobs here. Okay? So don't waste money on that. If you have money to go to college, get something of tangible value, including gold and silver. Now, you tell me why a year of college costs more than some starter homes. Okay? Invest means you get return on your investment. Are you going to get a return on your investment if you go to college at this point? And I got plenty of education, believe me. But what I'm trying to tell you is right now, you better batten down the hatches. You better buy whatever tools you need. You better buy whatever education you need to do whatever you can do when the whole thing comes apart. And you better get your... I'm going to tell you something about prepping. You shut the power off to your place. You shut off the utilities. You park the car in the driveway. Don't use your phone some weekend and start making a list. You got to learn 2 things. 1, you learn what you need. Start writing things down. And 2, you should learn what you don't need. You got golf clubs? Sell them. Get something to be worth something sometime. You got a nice recreational vehicle? Sell it now. Because if things go kerflush down the toilet, you won't be able to get a dime on the dollar for that nice boat. And you put into something that's going to be worth something when things go flooey. Everything that we call normal is going to change. And there's going to be very little of value. And something else, too. International Property Maintenance Code and clouded titles, they could rip your house out from under you.
Mm-hmm.
Get your wealth
and
into
do you know why?
Stick in your pocket.
Do you know why they can take your house out from under you?
Because the state
again,
state
very few people appreciate this. But because people don't actually have legal title
legal
to their homes, they only have equitable title to their homes. They think they're the owner, but you're just the occupant. You have a right to use the home, but you don't own the home, and it's part of the reason why the government, which theoretically and or whatever agency the government's representing, they theoretically own the home, and if they want to take it, they can. They want to say, look, you haven't been running the house the way you're supposed to. We can take it away from you. People think, oh, that's my house. No, you only have equitable title. And under those circumstances, the judge can rule against you. And we've seen court cases where the courts have declared that they can take property by eminent domain for the benefit, and the government can take it away from the guy who lives there, and he thinks he owns it, and he can take his property and give it to some corporation for supposedly stimulating the economy.
I'm going to tell
people
you
wonder, how
you
can they do that?
I'm going
Go
to
ahead,
Jim. You know what? I'm going to tell you something. You think eminent domain's bad? That ain't nothing. They got to pay out money to steal with eminent domain. Look up International Property Maintenance Code. They can steal any piece of property they want. I've done radio shows on it, and I've got you know what over, too. a lot of crazy stuff. The International Property Maintenance Code, if you think your property's worth anything, it could be more of a liability than an asset. They came after my 2 acres, the nicest part of Charleston. But I'm kidding you not. They can fine you out of any piece of property if they have a noxious weed on it.
Yep.
The code official is the sole interpreter. Can you say Gestapo?
Yep.
Anything he says is not in good working order, Charleston, West Virginia is $555 a day and or a month in jail for every day it occurs. How about unsanitary conditions? How about dog droppings on your property? $555 a day and or a month in jail for every day it happens. Or empty pop cans. Anything he says is unsanitary condition. Folks, land is not safe. Real estate is not a safe investment anymore. They can steal raw land. Get something you can stick in your pocket and leave with, okay? If I said too much, I'm sorry, I'm on a roll.
No, it's just like when you say, put something in your pocket that you can leave with. Even
yeah.
That is becoming interesting advice, because it's not clear that you can take your wealth outside of this country.
Maybe not outside
they're
gonna, the country.
They
but,
are
by golly,
in restricting
if stealing
it.
Your house, if they're stealing your house because they wiped out whole neighborhoods, I mean, if they're stealing your house, you better have something you could pick up and leave. Real estate is.
I agree, but where are you going to go to? There's the question. I mean, we are facing a problem that is not simply found in a state or within the United States of America. It's a kind of global problem as they try to impose a one world government, a new world order on us. Where are you going to run to? You know, it's not an easy situation to just pack your bags and say, oh, I'm going to Costa Rica, or, oh, I'm going to Uruguay or Argentina or someplace.
Well, there's
necessarily.
A fellow I knew in Guatemala. There's a fellow I knew in Guatemala. Well, he's still down there. And he helped people get out of the country. And he was involved in honest banking and stuff like that and helping people, expats. And he basically shut down a year ago. He said, out of America. He says it's getting more and more and more and more difficult. He said, not only that, but where he is, he says, all of us against winning at against gringos. Gringos are just another fat cow to be owned. So I don't know if there's any place, but I tell you what, if they steal your house.
If you're going anywhere, you've got to go someplace where you have a community of friends.
Bingo.
That are willing to actually stick together. And that's not easily found, but it may be the most important thing you can do to support
Bingo.
Your own situation in the future. You got to have like-minded people that you can work with and that live close by, and you can stand together. But this is, you know, the world is becoming an increasingly dangerous and difficult place, and each one of us is going to have to kind of struggle to figure out how to best cope with that difficult world.
In our circumstances, right.
Yeah, and it'll vary. And there's no guarantee. Yeah. What's best for you may not be what's best for me. And what is good for me for the next 2 years might not be good for me for the next 4 years. You know,
I'll tell you what, if you
got to be able to shift, think.
If you have anything of value you can sell, sell it now before the market goes kersplash, kerflush out, if the economy goes, you know the noise. Okay, if it's the value now, good chance it won't be later. Don't they be food, water, clothing, means of defending it? And, you know, the precious metals are going to skyrocket. So, folks, figure it out before it hits the fan. I mean, it's happened hundreds of times in the last few centuries, couple centuries. I've eaten it up on broadcast time. But just don't. It's not just NAFTA, it's everything, okay?
No, I know. Global problem. And it may be more pronounced in some places than others, but I doubt that there's a place in the world. And there's certainly, you know, if this new world order is able to establish itself, there won't be a place in the world that you can run to. Right now, there still are. It's still possible. It's increasingly difficult to reach them, but they're there. They're available. They can be found. And depending on your age and circumstances, you can take advantage. But I bet that the same thing will be true 10 years from now. Jim, thank you for your call. We've got to take a break for some commercial announcements. I'm Alfred Addis. I'll be back here with Melody Cedarstrom in just a moment. Please stay tuned.
countries have denied internet access for their people during civil strife. The FCC seized in-use commercial shortwave frequencies right after the September 11th attacks. No one communication system can be depended on to be there when you need information. You need choices. You need a KU band free-to-air satellite system from AVR. The AVR system includes a receiver, an LNB, and a 75-centimeter dish. All you need to get on your own is the coaxial cable. The system is delivered to your door for $149.99. That's right, delivered for $149.99. That's the shipping and the system, $149.99. Call 541-225-4659. That's 541-225-4659. Or visit AmericanVoiceRadio.com and click Satellite System.
Since the beginning of the United States, kings have sought it, nations have fought for it. It has been traded, borrowed, purchased, and stolen. There is a reason for it. To secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity, invest with the security of gold and silver. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Listen to Financial Survival with your host, Melody Cedarstrom, on American Voice Radio Network and Shortwave Radio. Visit DiscountGoldAndSilverTrading.net or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. For the very best in gold and silver trading, call toll-free 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Call now.
Folks, I'm Alfred Addisk here on Financial Survival with co-host Melody Cedarstrom. Programs brought to you by Discount Gold and Silver at 1-800-375-4188. Give Melody a call. Get yourself a good deal on some gold and silver. We've got the Baltic. Here's a headline from ZeroHedge.com. The Baltic Dry Index is down 60% year to date. Worst on record. Now, some of you may not recognize the Baltic Dry Index, and it's a measure of international shipping of commodities, right? And the way of keeping track of how many shiploads and how many tons are moving from England to the United States, how many are moving from the United States to Argentina, how many are moving from Uruguay on up to Italy. They keep track of this. And it becomes an effective measure of how much economic activity is taking place in the world. And they point out that the Baltic Dry Index has collapsed over 60% in the past 12 months. The index is at 867. The index is at one-year lows and hovering near post-crisis lows, meaning since 2008, this was about as low as it's gone. As the hope-strewn surge of last year now lies torn asunder by the reality of China commodity Ponzi probes and a real slowing global economy. That's complex language from Tyler Durden, but what he's simply saying is it's evidence that the economy is not in a state, the global economy is not in a state of expansion, but rather of decline. And there's a graph here, which you can't see, of course, but the graph shows that back in 2008, July of 2008, the Baltic Dry Index was at 9,000. All right? By November of 2008, this is just a few months later, December 2008, the Baltic Dry Index had fallen from 9,000 to about 800. All right? That was an extraordinary plunge, and it coincided with the recession, the Great Recession. The Baltic Dry Index continued, went up and down, but it continued to rise again to a peak in November of 2009. It peaked at about 4,800. went from 9,000 to 800 on up to 4,800 a couple of years later, and has since slowly moved down to where today it's about 867. The point is the Baltic Dry Index, as a measure of global economic activity, it indicates that nations are only shipping about 10% as many the volume of goods as they did back in July of 2008. 10%. The economy, global economy, by this measure, is off 90% over the course of the last 6 years. All right, and most of that was achieved in the first few months. They had a rise, brought it about halfway back, and then it's continued to decline. Well, it's one of these. It's a reliable evidence that the economy certainly is not recovering, certainly not on a global basis, and probably not on a national basis. And it's evidence that we are probably already in or headed into a global depression, economic depression. That's the real implication of this Baltic Dry Index. So it's just another one of the system is, in theory, holding together. All right? Doesn't mean that the sky is going to fall tomorrow or next week. But on the other hand, there has been a persistent degradation of the Baltic Dry Index over the course of the last 6 years, and it doesn't appear that it's going to change anytime soon. You need to think about this and factor it into your investment equations, just saying, look, we appear to be in or near a global, certainly a global recession, and arguably a global depression. And you need to factor that in. When you make investment decisions, what are you going to do? What are you going to buy? If that depression really gets worse, if it continues to slide deeper, one of the big implications is that many of us who are currently employed will find ourselves unemployed. So if you're going to make an investment decision, one of the things you need to consider, how much longer are you likely to be employed? If you're planning to buy a new house, say, well, I'm making $50,000 a year, and therefore we can go out and buy ourselves a new house for X number of dollars, and things should be fine. Well, maybe so. But you want to consider, can you really rely on that $50,000 annual income? Can you rely on that? And if you don't think you can, then you have to think, do I really need a new house? Or do I need a new house that is as big as we had hoped for? Or should I be sensible and try to get a house that is perhaps much smaller, but far more economical, and something that I'm likely to be able to afford even if I lose my $50,000 a year job? So it's something we have to factor into our equations, and each one of us has to, you know, I have a certain opinion on what the probability is that we're going to go into a depression. You may have a differing opinion. I may see that it's more likely than you do. Well, all right, fine. I'll make my investment decisions based on what I think is probably true, and you're going to have to make your investment decisions based on what you think is true. But you need to at least consider evidence that we are perhaps heading into a global depression. And if that's true, then you have to govern yourself accordingly. Here's another one we've got from Gazcom. This is from
We have a caller on the line.
Another caller?
Yes, we
all
do.
Right.
We have
Yvonne.
Yes.
Don't say Ivan.
I was going to say Ivan.
Uh-huh. It's Yvonne.
Good
What up, Yvonne?
Good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
Hello.
I want to make a couple of comments about Ukraine and Iraq. First of all, as you notice, that Ukraine kind of dropped off the headlines, and we have ISIS in Iraq, which is starting to bring in the headlines. I think that the one thing that U.S. and the Navy is using, they call, was like Austrian theory in most instances in Ukraine as well as in Iraq. And ISIS, I think it's just another morphed Al-Qaeda controlled by CIA, Mossad, and countries, you know, and organizations such as that. They are being trained by CIA, Mossad in Jordan and other countries, and the money is still coming from Saudis and Qatar and other countries which are our allies, so to speak. And so they are using, the intent is to get rid of Maliki in a one way that they can establish new bases in Iraq, close to Iran. So they can threaten Iran from Iraq as such, and from Afghanistan. In Ukraine, they have the same approach. They have a dagger from Europe, from NATO, pointing at Russia, all the way from Slovakia, Hungary, and Poland, all the way into the Russian borders, Western Russian borders, and thus they can very easily set up missiles and whatever armor egg or didn't against the Russian and also against Iranian and possibly Chinese attack. So I see that they are working on two fronts, and that's you were talking about the New World Order, and I think the New World Order, which was planned for millennia, so many years, may not happen if there is a third world war. And either one, it will depend which spark will hit first. Will it be the Iranian spike, spark, or the Ukraine-Russian spark? But if either one...
What do you think is happening to Russia? Do you think
Russia is
growing stronger, or is it facing... Is it really growing weaker? What do you think is happening to Russia?
I think Russia is pretty well set. Now, I don't know if you are familiar with the Fatima prophecies, the Bible, and I'm sure you are, and then history, of course. It all ties in that eventually Russia will be used as a whip to destroy many nations, okay? And the Russians are probably in a stronger position because they are not spread out as U.S. is, okay? We have 190 or 200 bases throughout the world, which Russia does not. And so in essence, they kind of, they are more, the bulk is concentrated in one spot, which is ex-Soviet Union or whatever, but in that area, okay, and they preserve their strengths, and they are not spending money on wars like we are in Afghanistan. Now we are supposed to give another half a billion dollars to the ISIS and some other, or FSA against Syria, also train.
Now what's interesting about that, what's interesting about that is Obama wants to spend $500 million to train and equip Syrian rebels, that is to say Sunnis fighting as rebels in Syria. At the same time, Obama is considering bombing the Sunnis who are fighting as rebels in neighboring Iraq. We are, and he says they'll vet if they spend this money on the Syrian rebels. They will first vet them to ensure that the money, the weapons, the training doesn't wind up benefiting the rebels in the Sunni rebels in Iraq. Now, what do you suppose the chances are that we're going to be able to give money to the rebels in Syria and it won't ultimately also reach the rebels in Iraq?
it will ultimately reach. They are so intertied. They move from one thing to another, like a chameleon. Okay, it changes its color to the situation it's located in, and so in essence, it will morph into ISIS, in Al Qaeda, into FSA, into whatever name they can, ISIL, and whatever name they pick, it'll morph.
Why do they need different names? Why do they need different names?
So to confuse the people who are...
Which people?
Us, okay? The people.
Yeah,
I think
you're right. I think it's
sheeple.
Intended. The government is going to sit back and say, we're not giving money to ISIS.
Right.
Those are terrorists. We're giving money to FSA. And when people get wise and they come up with a negative opinion of Al-Qaeda or FSA or something, they'll have a new name for the same rebels.
Right.
And it's a PR stunt to deceive the American people. I doubt that it has much meaning over in the Middle East. They know who they're dealing with.
Absolutely.
But they change the names in order to con the American taxpayer into what I think is going on.
That's correct. They are absolutely right. How I see it, you know, that they are trying to buffoon us, you know, into totally being, not seeing that true picture. But if you look, you know, if you focus your attention as to the like I said, the Hegelian theory, which is based on a long term, where you have thesis, antithesis, equal synthesis. You create the it's like they do indicate that to waste the chaos is a waste, you know. So if you can create chaos and you use it for your benefit, then you will come to the conclusion you want it to be. And
no, I understand that. And you start.
Yeah.
You say, oh, my gosh, we have a problem. How did you get the problem? Government caused the problem. Government says, well, to solve this problem, we need to do such and such, and that'll be a solution.
Yep.
And people say, yay, hooray for the solution to the problem. But the net result is the people are moved into a brand new circumstance that is more detrimental than the one they left. Yvonne, we have to thank you for your call. We are out of time. Look forward to hearing from you for another day.
Well, have a nice weekend. If I don't talk to you, both of you have enjoy a 4th of July.
Thank you.
You too.
Well, I'll talk to you before then. Thank you.
Thank you, Yvonne.
Take care.
I'm Alfred Adisk, and I'm here with Melody Cederstrom. I want to thank all of you for listening to the program. We will be back on Monday. In the meantime, may the good Lord bless you, me, Melody, Frank the producer, Yvonne, and Jim from West Virginia. See you, folks.